Hello, everybody. Today is June 30th. We're doing Government and Robot, and I'm going to spit it out as fast as possible so I don't forget.
June's gone. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
It is your fault.
Yeah.
Everyone blames you.
This whole year is just gone. And
I remember when this all started, and, you know, we're all sitting around. It's like, God, you think this is going to be like 2 months? I was like, that seems crazy. But then it was like, well, what if it's something really crazy like July? And, yet,
and here we are.
That's not looking good for January 2021. I mean,
the lost year.
I don't have a lot of house left to remodel. I got the concrete board up in the bathrooms this weekend. So,
just in you know what, though? If it goes hyperinflation, you're going to be glad you sunk all that money into the house.
But if
back,
it doesn't,
paying back that loan is going to be trivial. I mean, just like the fillings in your teeth will pay back that loan at some point. But who knows? Why predict what we can't really predict at all? Instead, let's talk about some disgusting government news. Now, this one seems like a fine headline, right? I question it in terms of we're putting another quick 0.1 on that national debt.
This article is worthless.
But the really sad part comes at the end, when they talk about who will be overseeing this giant number.
$100 billion universal fiber plan proposed by Democrats in Congress. Government has recognized that the United States is behind the rest of the world on their fiber infrastructure. Oh, no! And we really need 100 megabit symmetrical broadband connections throughout the U.S. That's what they say. Congress is like, we need to get on this. We need to spend some money and get this done. The problem is that this is not a repeat from 1996.
And who will be overseeing all that money?
The FCC.
Oh.
Ajit Pai.
They'll be doing an excellent job. Now, there is one tiny little good silver lining out of that whole thing, and it'll be stripped out. But it is the rule that it would get rid of any sort of blockades that individual municipalities and states put up in front of private municipal broadband.
I read it the other way. I read it as... private and municipal broadband could roll out their own networks in areas underserved by larger companies.
That's what I'm saying, because it's illegal to do so in a lot of places right now.
Yeah.
It would remove that block.
The thing that I always go back to with the 96 Telecommunications Act is that the main thing about that was it would decouple infrastructure from services. There wasn't really any such a thing as everything runs over the internet. It was everything runs over the network. And so, like, if you wanted Netflix, instead of having a connection on the internet to get to Netflix, you would just subscribe to the Netflix service, and then it would come over the network. That's different than the open internet. And effectively, that's what we've got with ISPs now, where, you know, things like Time Warner have their caching Netflix server. It's technically not hitting the internet. It's staying on Time Warner's network for a lot of it. And this doesn't, like, there is nothing of substance here at all.
Now, would you say that a lot of that probably stems from the fact that these giant media companies and the giant ISPs are often one and the same?
Yeah.
And what events generally lead to those giant companies coming to be monolithic?
Mergers and acquisitions.
But good news. Because when we have giant mergers, often our glorious leaders will go in and they'll put certain rules and they'll say, you know, for at least 5 years, you can't hold your customers down by the neck and violate them. For 5 years, you're not allowed to do that. If we're gonna let you become super powerful, you got to agree to that. And they're like, all right, but wait.
Charter seeks the FCC okay to impose data caps and charge fees to video services. Charter wants the Time Warner Cable merger conditions to expire in May of 2021, 2 years early. The reason for this is because all the other ISPs are making loads of money charging video services, like Netflix, extra money to carry their bandwidth. How insidious is it that it's like, because of the websites you want to visit, the ISP approaches the website and says, oh, you know, a lot of our customers really like your website. It would be a shame if something happened to those packets to make your website flaky and unavailable, because you're not going to blame the ISP for that. The customer is too stupid to know what's happening. Because there's not rioting in the streets and torches and pitchforks, most consumers are too stupid to understand what's happening.
Well, I mean, there are riots in the streets, but not about that.
Well, there should be about this. This would be a better thing to write about. So the merger did not take place under Pi. He was not the chairman at the time. It was Tom Wheeler. But Pi was part of the FCC during that time. And guess which way he voted on those two rules?
No.
So pretty much, if you're a charter customer, welcome to DataCaps.
Now, if before somebody tries to twist my words around in the comments, because I know that's coming, if I'm paying for a certain amount of bytes and a certain amount of bandwidth, I expect to get a certain amount of bytes and a certain amount of bandwidth. I don't want the ISP to meddle with who that comes from. It's like, oh, you can totally get 45 megabytes of data from Netflix for that one episode of Psych or whatever. But we're going to make it so that you have to get it over like a day. It's going to take you a day to download that episode. It's like, no, I paid for this amount of bandwidth and this many bytes. That is the end of the conversation. The ISP should not be involved in the transaction beyond that.
Yeah, they're not going to have that conversation with you.
No.
They're having their own conversation.
Yeah.
A Jeep Pi.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it'd be a shame if something happened to those packets.
It's the conversation is probably also, you know, quietly greasing palms as well.
I don't know how quiet it is at this point.
It's economically unsustainable to grease this many palms at all layers of the pyramid.
Yeah, but they get such a huge return. No, it's totally feasible because the returns are insane.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't cost that much to buy a Jeep Pi.
It's a captive
audience.
He's a
cheap slut.
We have more Reese Cup mugs than you could ever use.
And kind of a rare positive headline, although the story does point out that this is one state, and it's kind of a potpourri.
Yeah.
Like, every state kind of just makes their own rules up, and I guess eventually the Supreme Court's got to weigh in on this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
In Indiana, the Indiana Supreme Court has ruled that it is unconstitutional for cops to unlock your, to force a phone unlock with a passcode. And it goes down to the old Fifth Amendment thing. We can't force you to divulge things in your head. But this article does a good job of explaining the difference between, you know, you've got a safety deposit box with a key, you've got a safe, and you know the combination, and a phone with a passcode. And it goes out of its way to explain all the different scenarios and which ones are Fifth Amendment, you know, protection eligible and which ones are not.
Which, pro criminal tip, if at any time on the record you let the cops know that you do know the passcode, then you go over into the bad side.
Or so, even that it's your phone.
Yeah, pro criminal tip. And, you know, listen, you shouldn't be talking to cops in the first place.
That's not my phone.
You need an attorney. No. Don't even talk about the phone. If they show you a phone, you'd be like, do you want me to call my attorney? Because that's the only thing we're doing right now. That's what you do. Don't ever talk about the phone. And facial recognition, the debate for facial recognition, heating back up, of course, because facial recognition shines when it comes to, you know, surveilling the crowd. And we got lots of crowds right now. So we need some sorts of rules, and maybe we'll get some.
Facial recognition bill would ban use by federal law enforcement. The bill would also make federal funding for state and local law enforcement contingent on enacting similar bans. This is kind of a feel-good thing. There's not really a lot of teeth here to this. I mean, idealistically, this looks nice, but this seems like this was done for political purposes.
Well, if you'll remember, you know, all the various cities who have come out and said that they wouldn't allow facial recognition for law enforcement and, you know, all these feel-good things in response to the riots, it seemed nobody mentioned federal because those cities clearly don't have any jurisdiction when it comes to federal. So presumably, if your city bans it or not, the FBI is not going to care. It doesn't affect them.
I read the text of this particular, or the draft of it, I guess. And one of the things that seems to me to stand out in it is, so there could be a business, like they could be creating a business opportunity here with the way that it's worded. So it's like the police can't use face recognition. But what if I had a company, let's call it Palantir Technologies, which is different from the pre-existing Palantir. And let's say that I went to the police department and I said, hey, can you give me a list of everybody that's got an outstanding warrant and a driver's license photo? Because I don't have access to the driver's license photo, but you do. And then I'll run my database of face recognition with my drones that are surveilling crowds and crap like that as a private company surveilling people in public spaces. And then I'll tell you if I get any leads.
So there have been cities that have banned facial recognition. Again, probably doesn't affect federal. It's I would have to be tested, I guess, but I'm pretty sure if the feds were in your town and you were like, oh, sir, we've banned facial recognition, they would just laugh in your face. But it is nice when another city adds to the list.
Boston has voted to ban government use of facial recognition. Now, we've reported on some of the suburbs of Boston, basically. They're going to be really angry that I'm calling it suburbs. But some of the suburbs of Boston have already done this, and so this Boston has followed suit.
A lot of these, both this and the previous story, weigh heavily in on the fact that facial recognition doesn't do well with pigmentation, which is true. But I feel like that's such a poisonous argument, because they're going to fix that. And we don't want all of our laws to be based on that, because then they'll just be like, oh, we solved that problem. Yeah. We have better results now with people of color. So, hey, we're back in it. We're back in the game. No, we need to base it on everybody's civil liberties. That's the problem here. Don't make it just some weird catch. And this is probably the biggest story of the week, at least in terms of the terror meter. This one pretty much, the spring has broken based on this one. I mean, we thought net neutrality was bad. We thought SOPA was bad and the other ones. But this one kind of pales all of them.
Big tech decries the Republican bill seeking to break encryption. I love Barr, because he's just so like, these companies are smart enough to backdoor encryption, blah, blah, blah. It's like, the encryption was backdoored. Like, all of these articles miss talking about the dual elliptic curve random number generator from RSA and OPM and crap like that. We literally already tried this surreptitiously. It does not work.
But this is worse than that, because, you know, as we see, the government is not able to keep their secrets, and it's just getting worse and worse. So eventually this is going to be a very, very simple solution to breaking almost any application.
I actually saw some of the government critters say, you know, it was brought Congress up with critters. Them, and they're saying, the Congress critters, and they're saying, well, it doesn't, like, this bill actually doesn't say anything at all about encryption. It says nothing about encryption. But what it does say is that it must be possible for the service provider to surveil communications. That means that if I'm talking to Ryan, we can't have, you know, where I get his key and he gets mine and the service provider doesn't know the message we're exchanging. It goes back to that whole argument. It's like, why do we need to involve several people that are looking at my stuff? Like, if I send him a letter, it's a federal offense to open the letter and read it.
You could get some secret warrants. That
you can open it. It's not against the law for me to send you an encrypted letter that if you open it, is the contents are meaningless.
Well, don't give me any ideas.
But that's what this prohibits. And because of that, the only way to, the only way for a company to satisfy the law is to build in a back door. See, also LavaBit. It may already be that way with the secret warrants.
Pretty terrifying. I wonder if we'll get any people riding in the streets over this.
No.
That's a shame. And speaking of injustice, I don't know. I guess you could go either way. It does seem like I don't know how much proof they actually have. They do lay out that maybe the innocent just wants to show everybody what's going on. There might have been something more to it, but surely he suffered enough.
WikiLeaks founder has been charged in a superseding indictment. So this is kind of a far-fetched, but they've got new allegations against Assange that he conspired with Anonymous and Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden and all kinds of other people.
And requested
things.
The kinds of things, rather than just like, we've always thought of them as being like, oh, if you're afraid to publish this, bring it to us. We're not afraid of anything. But instead, they paint him as like seeking out these people.
On the one hand, though, the evidence that they presented in with Chelsea Manning, where Chelsea Manning was like, I've got an encrypted thing. I need help with the password hash. And it seemed like Assange was just like, well, send me the password hash and I'll see if I can get the password for you. It's like, that's like pretty 101 kiddie level stuff.
You mean terrorist?
I mean, you could just as well post the password hash on 4chan. It's just...
But more importantly...
Who's the hacker known as 4chan?
They say it's a superseding charge, but it's 5 years for every, 10 years for every count, except for one, which is 5 years. But if he gets charged with treason, what difference does any of this make?
Yeah.
So I guess they just want to make sure that they have, if he gets off on the treason charge, they can still, you know, keep him in prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So,
but it's also really scary that in the beginning, it was like, you're acting really crazy and paranoid that somehow the Swedish charges would result in what you're saying. And then now it's like, oh, it turns out he was right.
Yeah, well, doesn't matter, does it? Now, this story, I guess for a lot of people, this was a bit of a feel-good story.
It is funny.
Yes. But, well, let's do the headline first.
K-pop star's Trump prank ratchets up the internet wars. So this was, there was a rally.
It's Stans from the popular Eminem song where he has the fan named Stan who writes him all the time.
Oh, bro, are you sure that's what that is?
Yeah, that's what I read that the other day, and I was like, wow, I never knew that's where that term came from, but it's like a fan.
That's pretty hip for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
It's almost
Stans is like the hip new way of saying you're a fan of something.
I'm going to retire from the internet when Forbes uses the word simp.
Is it just a fan, or is it like an obsessive murder?
An obsessive fan. Like, you're, because like, that's, if you've heard that song, I can't remember the name of it right now, like, Stan is constantly writing Eminem letters.
And he's murdered.
But Eminem never writes back.
He's killed.
You may have to fix Krista's crop because people are going to complain.
Krista, you're moved. Leaning out.
I can't help it. I'm antsy. I've got anxiety.
I don't want to pick the keyboard back up. So move to your right a little bit more.
Like here?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Stay in that position.
Stop moving.
And do it
for the next 3 hours. Yeah.
I'm going to need about three more coffees to stay awake because I'm just.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to have to hit the coffee after this episode.
I think it's a combination of the Sahara dust foreshadowing and rain.
I don't think that's here.
It is here. No, there's an air quality alert for.
Really?
Yeah.
But the. Well, we're going to do that story in nonsense, but it seems like the dust is good. It's all positive.
Well it's good, but like, if you are. It's funny. If you're someone who is immunocompromised or, like, you know, older or younger, they're actually saying, even if coronavirus wasn't a thing, you should be wearing a mask.
Well, Krista, I think we've established we don't care about those people.
Right.
As right. a country, we certainly have.
But what I want to say about this Bloomberg story, I would encourage you to read it, and not because it's good, but because, dear God, if you have not before thought that Bloomberg was a partisan publication. Like, they literally say...
I wondered if you were going to mention that.
In this article, they literally say, it's like, well, when the right hacks, and, you know, hacks, whatever, it's all the same to them, it's usually for violence and bigotry. But when the left do it, oh, it's just a good time. When they manipulate the political process, well, those rapscallions, what are you going to do? Zers will be zers. So it's now. Imagine, take a journey with me into imagination land. Go back 1 year and imagine somebody did this to Bernie Sanders rally. What would that have looked like? Bloomberg wouldn't care because, you know, they hated Sanders too. But a lot of people would be upset. Here's a dystopian headline. I mean, I guess it's good, but we. We live in a world where we need these rules.
Bill requires employers to keep implanted microchips voluntary for workers. Now, the first or second sentence of this story says something like, a lot of employers are implementing this, and it's like, I'm going to need a citation. Citation needed for that.
Employers around the U.S.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that's really... I mean, some people are doing it for convenience. Certainly, I've known people that have gotten the RFID chip implant, and, you know, I guess, whatever, but...
Eh? You know Jeff Bezos wants this. There's no question.
This is like the ultimate like terrifying thing to me. Like, I would never do this.
I don't know, Chris. You got a lot of work left ahead of you. You might not say that.
I'll just do something else.
You going to be a non-citizen?
I want my Social Security payments. Boop!
Well, there's the joke part of that is that anyone in my generation will even get Social Security.
Yeah.
We still can't talk. We still can't say the thing, but, you know, it's still out there. It's getting stronger. The Chan, she's powering up. This, you know how...
Not even her final form.
Yeah, in the JRPG, you kill the boss, but it's never just one iteration of the boss. This is where, like, We've been fighting a giant head, and when we got its hit points all the way down, it revealed the body. Now it's like a giant winged dragon, and it's there. And so to try and defeat the dragon, we poured money on the populace and tried to calm them down. That worked, didn't it?
No.
But for whatever reason, there were these things in place where the IRS knows who's dead, right? I mean, kind of important, because you don't want to have to try to spend time going after them for taxes if they're dead yet. I'm sure they're working on that. But they decided not to use them?
Nearly $1.4 billion in almost got me.
I already said it, so I mean, if you want to say it.
Do you think the algorithm will catch the two syllables?
It doesn't sometimes. Sometimes it does. It does miss Carissa, because I guess with the compressed audio or whatever. Relief payments have been sent to dead people. I'm surprised it's only $1.4 billion. This talks about some of the other rebates, like the other tax rebates. It's not as much money as I thought it was.
Which still really terrible, either way.
It really underscores exactly how much money, like, the difference between $1 million and $1 billion is insane.
Yeah, it really is. And the same magnitude of gap is between $1 billion and $1 trillion. And remember how much debt the country's in. California's in the news quite a bit this week, and this one is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think some good things can probably come of it, but I wonder how good they've done at, you know, we always talk about when it comes to location data, anonymization is iffy at best.
Well, our audience is the perfect audience to investigate this, and let us know in the comments, engagement challenge.
But they might be the worst possible audience in terms of abusing it. That's what I'm worried about.
Newsom announces new modeling website for The Thing, and it's open source. It's tools for citizen scientists. So you, arguably, probably this news program has a higher proportion of people that can actually make use of this open source stuff than a lot of other stuff on YouTube, probably. So get out there, look at this, and let us know.
I'm sure that you won't use it for extortion.
Hell, we might do a video on it. I don't know. Come to the forum and make a post if you do something interesting with it, and let's turn it into a video. Seriously.
Meanwhile, facial recognition is really kind of one aspect of the terrifying new face of policing. And the sort of the brains behind the eyes, I guess, are predictive policing, where you're like, hey, you know what? Based on the past, we think there's probably going to be some crime over here. So let's just go mess with these people today. And unconstitutional, I would think. In the best of times. So this sounds like a good idea.
California City has banned predictive policing in a U.S. first. Do you think that California City predicted police abuse?
What?
I think, you know, if we're going based on history, predicting something. You know, that's the old argument. It's like, well, they're not all bad. You know, most of them are good and they want to do good. And it's like, yeah, but by ignoring the bad ones, aren't they breaking that oath?
Let's take a bunch of people and cram them into a really small metropolitan area. Let's take away their jobs, and let's take away their money, and let's not feed them, and let's see what happens.
Well, don't forget, let's fly and crack from South America.
Oh, yeah. Let's fly and crack from South America. Let's see what happens. It's the grand experiment.
That's the July event. Actually, no, that's the August event, because that's when rent becomes due.
That's like the 1986 event.
Yeah.
Well, I was not aware of the IMDb. Did we ever cover that? I don't remember it.
I don't think we mentioned it. It was in the list for a while, but it was like, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But the good news is that the courts are busying themselves with things that really matter, really taking on the hard-hitting questions.
Appeals court says that California's IMDb targeting ageism law is unconstitutional. So IMDb doesn't want to post the ages of actresses because they may not be cast in things because people use IMDb as a reference?
Well, no, they do want to. It was just that a certain actress sued them and claimed that they were costing her work because she looked young, but she wasn't young. So California says, no. I'm afraid that is not ageism. That is a fact. I'm thinking about starting a lawsuit. Ugly people in Hollywood.
It's funny. We have a story about that later.
Yeah, and I think, but they're not leading roles.
They're supposed to be ugly.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of sad.
I want to see those of us on the other side of the beauty spectrum getting some really good roles.
Well, for, Asperger's and autism, we're doing pretty good.
Well, in terms of presentation?
Just as a channel and a community.
That's still, like, probably one of my favorite YouTube comments we got.
The We're Fringe Aspie channel.
I've been watching a TV show called The Following, and it's about a cult of serial killers. And it's just the best-looking people that you could imagine. They're all serial killers. And I'm just like, I don't really think serial killers would look this good.
Well, you know? It's the case, though, with, like, Bundy, though.
Yeah, but he was the only one. I mean, yeah. Gacy and Dahmer weren't winning any beauty pageants. But they're all young and beautiful, and they're boring, too. Like, it's basically like a teen drama, and every once in a while they kill somebody. It's like Saved by the Bell if they just killed somebody once per episode.
That's Bateman from...
Patrick Bateman?
Yeah. He was a surprisingly boring character, I thought.
Really?
Except for the, you know, the whole...
Well, the psychosis made him very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The psychosis. But beyond the psychosis, it's like, I don't understand what
Well, that was the thing. He didn't exist, really. Like, it was just a created... Yeah, but these people are like, you know, they're cheating on each other and they're having little spats. You know, they're just boring. They're not... That would be interesting if they actually had those problems.
It's like just going back to, you know, my hometown.
Again, if once a week they just killed each other. Or not each other, but, you know, other people.
Just someone. An out-of-towner.
Well, it's been a while since we've ruffled the feathers of those Tesla people. And boy, are they going to have a lot of excuses for this one, I bet.
Tesla under investigation for Model S touchscreen failures. Safety regulators want to know more about the reports of bricked screens. So this may or may not be related to the EMMC flash wear out bug. Remember, it wasn't the Model S, it was the prior model, but it apparently uses a similar model for its a similar component for its flash memory, which may wear out prematurely because of logs. So. And that may stop the touchscreen from working. So.
Well, that's cool. We'll just use the backup controls, right?
Oh, wait.
Oh. So, yeah, that sucks if you don't have a touchscreen.
Yeah. That was one of the things I always liked about Star Trek. It's like they would portray things like that. Everything is touchscreen. But then it's like everything is completely offline. It's like, all right, I'm going to stick my hand under the console and we'll be able to fly this thing. And it's like, good job.
And you just come out with a big handful of rat's nest.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think in the early versions of those starships they had rats?
Yeah. Actually, in Deep Space Nine, when they inherit the station from the Cardassians, there are vole infestations, which are like an ill-tempered, mostly hairless cat that is like very angry and temperamental all the time. It's running around the station eating the fiber optic cables.
So basically, a cat.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, isn't that just your mom's cat?
It's like a really, really ill-tempered cat.
Now, apparently, they do have a new kind of display now, so the current versions might not suffer from this. But the ones that are suffering from it are presumably out of warranty at this point. So.
Well, and also, like, I don't know, it's like, why have all of your controls through that one thing that can fail?
Because it looks amazing, Krista.
I mean, it looks cool, but now we're running into this issue.
But a lot of other companies have adopted that, so yeah. More and more cars are going to that.
I really don't think a touchscreen is you can't navigate by feel.
Yeah. I got the touchscreen in my car. I hate because you have to look at it. Yeah. Now, it does have the steering wheel controls. I imagine Tesla probably has those too, right?
For some things, but not everything.
Yeah, you can't. You don't have as much granular control on the steering wheel.
So, disappointing. But hopefully they'll fix it. Although I don't think they're fixing it out of warranty for free. And then it's the whole idea of like getting a Tesla fixture. Around here, who's going to fix your Tesla? You got to drive like to another state or something.
We have to go to like one of the bigger cities like Louisville.
You think they would have it?
Maybe.
We barely have companies around here that understand refrigeration technology, let alone.
Yeah, but you go down to Eastern Kentucky, you want a lawnmower fixed? Every third house.
Well, let's clarify, though. It has to be like the old school lawnmower design. It's going to be like the Briggs & Stratton from like 30 years ago, and it'll run.
They'll just pop the engine off the one you have and replace it with one of those, and you'll be fine.
Not the Internet of Things lawnmowers and stuff like that now. Like, well, they can do the old stuff.
Certainly not the John Deere, right?
Yeah.
I literally had a vehicle that ran amazing. It sounded like a kitten, but the electrical system and it was completely messed up. Like the door locks, the windows, the headlights barely worked. But the rest of the car was amazing. The drivetrain, the engine, it was incredible.
Now this Lyft lawsuit sounds kind of insane to me. I was not aware of this. But what the lawsuit is claiming, it makes me wonder what kind of monsters are driving the Lyfts.
Lyft settles with Justice Department over disability lawsuit. The rideshare company will pay a $40,000 civil penalty and educate drivers. So, dude with a wheelchair sued Lyft because like 12 or 15 times the Lyft driver had showed up and was like, oh, you're in a wheelchair. Nope, see ya. And they would just drive off. And he had a collapsible wheelchair. It's not that hard to deal with the wheelchair. Like, literally, like, they're going to lift themselves out of the wheelchair and into the passenger thing, and then all you got to do is wheel the wheelchair around to the trunk, collapse it, and put it in the trunk. Not a big deal.
But let's say you're in an SUV. Do you have to, like, haul them up into the seat?
You might have to help them a little bit.
Well, what if they're really disgusting?
Yeah.
I can kind of see that.
They've usually got the upper body strength already, so it's fine.
What if it's their first week?
It's rough, but you got to do it.
So I kind of get it. If that's the case, I think you still do it just because you don't want to look like an asshole.
Yeah.
But I also thought about, now they say it has to be a collapsible wheelchair, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of these people weren't just like, you know, on the rascal or something.
This guy was in a collapsible wheelchair, specifically in the lawsuit.
Or maybe he just like, you know, he'd just been like rolling through like wet paint or something. And I'm like, nah, bro, come on. we can't do that. It's like, I'm going to sue you. So yeah, I don't know if there were mitigating factors, but it wasn't just that guy. They claimed that it happened like 11 or 12 times.
Yeah. Also, like the I've broken my leg and you've got like the little rolly scooter thing. Those are required because those don't require a special vehicle. Now, Rascal does require a special vehicle. You got to have the hitch mount thing on the back.
But I thought that maybe it was Uber. Don't they have like a special rate and request for that thing?
For the ones that require a special assistive device. But a collapsible wheelchair is not that.
I bet the argument here is the drivers knew about that and they pulled up and were like, no, it's you have to pay me more. It's a special rate for, you know, this service. But yeah. It was like, no, it's just throw it in the back. I'm you know, and then that's probably where this spawned from. Either way, if you drive for one of these companies, you see a wheelchair, you better do what they tell you.
It's not unreasonable. Come on.
Now, this story was kind of crazy, and they sort of try to look at it from both angles, but it really does make you wonder, is this...
There is no other angle for this.
Well, the guy said maybe it's like, maybe we're trying to adapt it to this, but it really doesn't make a lot of sense, because... Why would you? You could argue that the other thing is more valuable. Anyway.
From the nation that brought you Brexit. We've bought the wrong satellites, lads. UK tech gambles, baffles experts. So because they're not part of the EU anymore, they got to get their own GPS satellites. They bought a bunch of satellites. What was it? It's a defunct. It was like Starlink or something.
OneWeb. But it's basically the same as Starlink. Low orbit.
Those satellites aren't capable of doing that kind of positioning. So they bought it, even though the company was basically, you know, end of life.
They argue that it could do it. However, it would be transmitting it through the internet. So it's not really doing it. Yeah, that's kind of silly. I don't understand.
Crikey.
Yeah. Isn't that Australian?
I'm sorry. Bollocks. There we go.
Chris is the designated Australian accent.
I can't even do it that well either.
Oh, you did it one day and people loved it. So, those big European fines for the big tech companies, they happen and it takes a long time to get to the end of the road for the appeals. And one of them started out January 2019 and now is the end of the road.
Facebook has lost, like stage four, lost its antitrust decision in Germany over data collection. So it wasn't just data collection. It was also in anti-competitive behavior with ads, but GDPR and that kind of thing. So, is that the next one? No, that's the French thing.
This is Google.
Oh, yeah, it's the Google one. So the French, the some of the, I don't know if the translation was off or whatever, but some of the transcripts from the court case, I don't know if it was this round, but this case were hilarious. Because Facebook was like, no, look, we built our empire, we do this. We offer a service to people because they're interested in ABC, XYZ, and those are the ads that we want to show them. And the German court was like, you can't do that. You're building a profile on somebody. This could be used to exterminate them. We have some history with that here in Germany. Facebook's like, I don't understand.
You know, I might have confused the fact that Facebook might actually still have appeals. I think actually Facebook still has appeals to go, and they said they would fight it. It was Google who was out of time.
Oh, okay.
I think. It's when they come to write together like this, they do tend to blend.
France's top court upholds the $56 million fine for Google over privacy breach. This doesn't really seem like a lot of money, but this was actually a relatively small breach. It's really just overall the number of steps required to tell Google to delete your data or stop recording it or show you what it has. And just some really kind of arbitrary stuff from the French court. So the $56 million fine doesn't really seem that large.
Certainly not for Google. No. Yeah. Although, everybody's profits are down. It's a rough time. Not looking like it's going to get much better. So, you know, maybe it hurts a little bit more than usual. We'll see. The Chinese trade war that is rapidly becoming something more continues to rage on, and this time it's gone under the sea, but not with submarines and warheads, but instead it's just more trade war, but submarine trade war.
The U.S.-China battle over the internet goes under the sea. The DOJ's opposition to Facebook and Google's 8,000-mile cable to Hong Kong highlights how physical infrastructure is as contentious in the virtual world. So there's a company, which is a Hong Kong company, but it's probably owned by the Chinese, are involved with their end of the cable. And Facebook and Google want to bring this cable into Hong Kong to offer their services. The problem with that is that Google and Facebook may be offered or may be required to make certain concessions in order to do that. We're talking about filtering and privacy and, you know, all the other kind of stuff. Now, filtering Netflix, obviously, that's okay. But, you know, filtering at the request of the Chinese Communist Party, less okay.
Imagine what the Chinese Communist Party could do with that. Google and Facebook's ad targeting people in terms of social credit score.
What a dark timeline.
What's the total dollar value of pictured cable, do you think, right there?
North of $50
million. I don't know about $50 million. I'm not saying what's outside the scope of the picture. But yeah that's going to be a lot.
Looks like several miles of cable.
That's very pleasing. Although, the little hashes don't line up.
I wonder if they've got it to where with the shark repellent. So, like, if a shark bites into it, it gets a little...
Sort is that of... like the shark repellent from the West Batman?
How long does shark repellent last?
Now, sharks will be like, what is that? And they'll just gnaw on things, which has been the source of some internet outages.
The younger among you don't understand that reference, but it's a hilarious clip that I'm sure is on YouTube. What's his first name? I forgot his first name.
Adam West.
Adam West, shark repellent.
He only died recently. It's very sad.
Yeah, he was... you got to give it up to him. I don't know if he went through a phase where it was like, I'm more than Batman. But in his old age, he was like, no, I'm Batman. Let's just do this. I'm ready. I'm a meme. I love it. So when they're not fighting under the sea, the Trump administration and China are still fighting, don't worry, on dry land, in the air, wherever it is. And they've kind of, I don't really know exactly, like, this isn't exactly a new salvo. This is more just like more of the same.
Yeah. Reuters has the exclusive. The Trump administration says Huawei and Hikvision are backed by the Chinese military. Now, Hikvision is one that we warned you about before anybody else. We were like, ha ha ha, Chinese military, ha 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 ha.
Hikvision.
Yep.
That's a little presumptuous in terms of who warned them.
We did. No, we totally did. It was like,
but you don't know who else.
Oh, yeah. A lot of other people did.
Only us.
The State Department knew, too. They just didn't say anything for a long time because they're bastards.
So, I think one of those companies responded and they were like, nah, this is crazy. Not at all. We're not. That's just ridiculous. And it's, you know, it's politics. But
see, yeah. I think that, like, how dumb are we? Like, if you want to, okay, so I don't know. This is probably not... This is a long episode already. I shouldn't segue, but I'm going to do it anyway. China is making really amazing telecom equipment. You know, China in quotation marks there. Under cost. And they're bidding in things to become part of the infrastructure, presumably to be able to control the infrastructure. So instead of fighting that economically, like having an American company like Cisco offer alternative technology or alternative stuff, why don't we just have the intelligence community figure out in what way the equipment is possibly bugged and then offer up a cheap, inexpensive way to convert that technology from, you know, the Chinese stuff to the thing? So, like, it's like the episode of Rick and Morty where, like, the devil is selling, like, the, or the, giving away the trinkets. So, except instead of the devil, it's China, and the U.S. government comes up with Curse Purge Plus, basically, for the Huawei equipment.
I like that you base your reference on Rick and Morty, not what it was parodying. Do you even know?
No.
Needful Things.
Oh, okay. So you buy a piece of really amazing telecom equipment below cost from Huawei, but an American company can replace the backdoored circuit board or replace the software or whatever and get it running again. The Hikvision cameras, I don't know about the telecom equipment, but the Hikvision cameras, they run Linux and they're ARM. It is not going to cost a lot for the State Department to fund an American company to provide alternative firmware for the Hikvision cameras that do away with the back doors.
But you would have to support it in perpetuity because you're going to lose all your updates.
But the economics, it hurts. Like, if it's an economic war that we're in, that hurts more because they're already taking a loss on the equipment. It's like, all right, take a loss on the equipment, and then we can still, you know, fix it. We can take the parts from it, worst case scenario, and still end up in a better spot than inventing our own thing from scratch. And it also attacks them economically because it's like, all right, you want to give equipment away to us below cost for free because it's backdoored? Great, we're going to take the parts out of that and, you know, exploit the situation.
So you want the people who are responsible for Vault 7 to be responsible for our entire...
Yeah, it seems like that would not work, but there are smart people that could do that there, but not those people.
Well, those are the people who are going to do it. And while they're at it, they're going to install...
More backdoors.
Federal mandated backdoor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it better to be spied on by the U.S. or by China? At least when China's spying on us as individuals, what can they do to us?
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Also, China, now, this really, the timing of this is even more embarrassing for the U.K. Yeah. Because China, much like the U.K., recognized, they were like, hey, we're kind of dependent on this GPS business, and that's the U.S. owns that, and that's ridiculous. Why? We can't be dependent on that. We might be in a shooting war with them any day now. So let's launch our own. And it took a while, but...
China launches its final satellite to complete its rival to the U.S.-owned GPS system. So China's going to have its own independent GPS system. They're going to be able to... What was it we were doing in Desert Storm, flying a missile up a 2-meter drain pipe? China's going to be able to do that now.
They're going to be doing 0.5 meter. It's even better.
Did you tell me to watch Space Force?
No, I haven't seen it.
That's a recurring joke in Space Force, is like they're, you know, struggling to do something with science and technology, and then the Chinese show up and their stuff's like 10 times better. They're just like, oh. It's
art following.
Yeah.
Reality. Now, usually when we talk about supercomputers, it's usually China number one. Recently, IBM took back the title for the good old Stars and the Stripes, and everybody felt good, and we were, you know, standing up saluting the flag. But we've lost it again. However, it's Player 3 now.
Player 3 has entered the game. An ARM-based Japanese supercomputer is now the fastest in the world. Fugaku. Hopefully I got that correct.
I think the emphasis would be on the middle syllable. Fugaku.
Fugaku. Okay. Is being used in research for the thing, the doomsday thing that's going to kill us all. Probably not. Not all of us.
Considerably faster, too.
It's killed 125,000 of us.
Good Lord.
In the U.S.
It is a crazy number of cores. That's how ARM always wins. They just throw tons of cores at it. So if you look at the other supercomputers, they have way less compute cores, but they also have GPUs and things like that. This thing's just ARM, just ARM going nuts. So
it's all it ever does is bicep and tricep and forearm. It's never do it. It skips legs every week.
It's the compute centipede. It's just arms.
So congratulations to Japan.
There's no differentiation.
We do stories about this country from time to time, and I always don't know how to pronounce it, and the comments are like, you pronounce it like this, and I always forget. I think it's Myanmar?
Myanmar.
You like? Is that what you think?
Myanmar? I thought it was Myanmar. I don't know. Yeah, either way, we probably all said it wrong.
Well, we got one of those is probably right. Choose whichever one you like the most.
Military stands firm in defense of Western Myanmar's...
you can't just... you have to take
a buck out. So they're saying that this is people are using the internet to give away military position and things like the goings on and effects of military exercises, and that's why they cut off the internet, and not because of humanitarian abuse or human rights abuse or war crimes or anything like that.
It's been a year.
Yeah,
it's been off for a year. How many times do they have to move the military pieces around? And it does seem like they're in some kind of conflict there. I don't understand what that war is about. Do you?
We're not done with the ethnic cleansing. Once we're done with the ethnic cleansing, then we can turn the internet back on.
Can you imagine a year without the internet?
No.
And in quarantine, no less.
I don't have enough books.
I don't know. I think they're probably doing pretty good with the... There's one country... Oh, what country is it? They haven't had a single case, and nobody knows why. I think it's in Southeast Asia.
Was it Vietnam? I thought Vietnam had a few cases, but then most, it's controlled.
I don't know. I think it was around there, but it's some countries just like, I don't know. We don't know what you're talking about. We haven't seen anything like that. Now, the argument about the racist algorithms, I still argue it's the wrong argument to make because they will fix it. But it is a problem. You can't ignore the fact that the algorithm that is being used to track things like crime doesn't do well with black people. And when you think about it in, sort of like a big picture kind of way, it's like, yeah, well, that's a bad thing. But when you put a face to it, it does get a lot worse.
Wrongfully accused by the algorithm. So it's paywalled. This guy was arrested on his 42nd birthday. Because an algorithm said that he looked like a bank robber, or not a shop robber, somebody that stole some watches and jewelry, like $6,000 worth, 5 or 6 years prior?
Was it 5 or 6 years?
I don't know. It was a while prior. And of course, the algorithm got the wrong person. What happened was the company that made the software told the police department, hey, for black people, this thing is 10 to 100 times less accurate. Just FYI. And their software submitted a lead to the police department. So this is one of those public-private things, like I was describing in the beginning. That was the joke, is like, the police department can't use facial recognition. Technically here, the police department didn't use facial recognition. They got a lead from this third-party company.
Well, not really. If they'd followed the rules, it wouldn't have been an issue. So the woman that worked at the place that got robbed called them. And she was like, hey, here's the video of us getting robbed. Here's the guy. Here's his picture. And facial recognition. I don't know if the cops used the facial recognition or if the company used the facial recognition.
I think the company did.
And
But the cops had a contract for it.
Here's the match. And, here's all this information. And they were like, well, if we're going to arrest this guy, we can't just arrest him based on the facial recognition, for all these reasons. We need an eyewitness report. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's ma'am, the eyewitness. Well,
she picked that guy out of a lineup. Now, who knows what other people were in the lineup?
He shouldn't have even been in the lineup if she hadn't sworn on his identity in the first place. So she said, yes, it was him, even though she wasn't an eyewitness. She was just looking at the video like everybody else. They went and got him, put him in the lineup. She's like, yep, that's the guy. And now he was only in jail for 30 hours. But as you pointed out, that was the 30 hours of his birthday.
Yeah. And even darker than that is the prosecutor moved to dismiss, not with prejudice, which means they could bring charges later. And they were saying things like, well, we need to get some more evidence and blah, blah, blah. But the guy had an ironclad alibi for the time of the when the robbery was taking place, which the police department didn't even bother to investigate. This is like the Springfield Police Department, like a police department worse than the Springfield Police Department as depicted on The Simpsons.
Yeah, he literally had a a terrible Instagram video of him singing in his car at that time.
It's a good thing that thanks Google for recording my every move, or Facebook in this case. It's my alibi.
Now, at the end of the story, he was clearly making inroads that he's going to sue these people and kind of like
give he should.
Some, but yeah, I don't think he needs any excuses. Like, just do it because they will settle.
Yeah.
They have to.
I think Kafka, it's also like if you take race out of it, this is also kind of a Kafka thing because when you're right, when they fix it, you know, quote unquote, fix it to be as good for black people as it is for white people, this is still going to happen.
Yeah. And it's when you make the argument about race, and I realize that you're thinking to yourself, good, we don't need those people, but you are losing part of the population.
Yeah.
And you need it. It's us versus them. As long as it's white versus black, it's not those with power versus those without. That's the distraction.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So as much as it may be distasteful, you must embrace the racists to fight the overlords.
The software will be misused. It's like chimps with machine guns.
Are you implying they don't have excellent accuracy?
I think the chimps would be random violence. Here it's very malicious.
Yeah. It's like, prove that you're not this person. I was like, well, I happen to have this Instagram recording from the time in question, but yeah, it's the algorithm. It's just going to be, I mean, even people that have gotten like, you know, the traffic camera thing, it's like, I don't think I was speeding through that intersection. It's like, yeah, prove it. And it's like, you basically can't prove it. Oh, the machine was miscalibrated to give extra fines. Oh, darn, that's too bad.
We should have constitutional amendments to protect us from that kind of thing. That was technically the first robot story because it's AI. We had a terribly, terribly minuscule robot section this week. I don't know what it was, but robots just, I don't know, they're not getting the job done. But this one is kind of exciting because up until this point, the waiter robots, I feel, have been underwhelming.
Yes.
They're somewhat limited. But it seems like maybe, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, someone has finally done a more complete robot restaurant.
Country Garden builds the world's first ever robot restaurant complex in Guangdong, China. So, yeah, scroll down. I got pictures of the... Yeah, they just... You put in your order and they... They're not so much robots as they are just sort of like trolleys with trays, and if one of them happens to have a meal that you ordered that's already ready to go, it's like you get a number six and one of them's like, oh, I have a number six that was prepared 2 minutes ago. It'll just come over to you and say, here's your number six, and then you just take it out of its belly.
Yeah, but you also have these guys who are the prep bots.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I don't know, did you interpret it the same way? It sounded like it was almost like they had the ghost kitchens,
mm-hmm.
which were offsite, but still heavily robot. And those ghost kitchens would prepare most of the food. Then it would come to the diner area, and then some robots would do the final touches, and then the robots would bring it to you.
We need replicators, like yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But, you know, reality steps in.
This is still very impressive.
So they'll do cool. Chinese food, fast food. What was the other one? I don't remember the other one.
Dumplings?
Hot pot, I think.
Oh, yeah, hot pot was the other one. Yeah. And it's just this massive, massive indoor space that seats tons and tons of people with the robots just scurrying around everywhere.
Makes sense. They had one of the, they had something similar to this, a tray robot at the Taipei 101, the food court. And it was just like, you could just put your dirty tray on it and it would take it away.
And these guys are also working with other restaurant type stuff and catering and stuff like that to use their robot technology. So you might be seeing these guys everywhere.
Neat.
Also a pink and chrome color scheme, Krista. What do you think about that?
I like that. I think that's cool.
You do love pink.
I wonder why pink was was chosen though. Because like it is kind of a polarizing color.
The Japanese don't seem to have, they don't get hung up on like the masculine stuff as much as we do.
That's true. It's not, yeah.
Bob enjoys dresses. It's fine.
Whatever.
I don't know if they go that far. That might hurt your social credit score. All right. Well, that's all we got. Tomorrow will be business and I don't know what. We can go with business and security or business and social.
Ooh. And it's going to be sponsored by Linode because it's the 1st of July.
Oh. Exciting.
Global One
News. Oh, you guys
July.
Ready for the July event? No one knows what it's going to be.
Krista, that exciting didn't sound very enthusiastic.
So, come on.
We already had the dust storm. I guess that was the June event. What was the... No, June was civil unrest. So, like, what is...
Well, I think the dust storm, again, is beneficial.
Mm.
It's positive dust.
Is it? It's just a B-plot, you think? Like the murder hornets?
It's like one of those... it's like Game of Thrones. We're like, the dust storm is mentioned, but we're never going to follow up on it.
Never hear about it again.
And then 2 years from now, it's like, and then that dust storm was responsible for...
Krista, give us a dust storm outro.
That was me trying to, like, pretend I had dust in my throat.
See, I was expecting you to do, like, you know, do-do-do-do-do. Bye.
Oh.
That would have been the way to go. But you're saying bye while you're doing that.
Yeah. Bye.